on 98 FM and online. This is Phoenix FM.
Well, does its job. Dean Cox again. This time he's in. At the second time of asking, Dean Cox takes Leighton Orient a step closer to Wembley.
Carroll. Jonathan Tahue.
Capable of anything. Tahue! Equaliser for Leighton Orient.
We're not a city. We're not a town. We're the only one of us around, and you know where we can be found. When Saturday comes again, we'll be trying to do our best to cheer on those on who wear the vest. Whatever challenge, whatever test, we're Leighton Orient from E10. Leighton Orient from E10.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the Orient Hour. My name is Billy Herring, and I'm joined today by guest Richard Priest. Rich, how are you doing? You okay?
Good, thanks, mate.
Gareth Platt.
Yeah, I'm good, Billy. How are you?
I'm very good, thank you. And good to see what we like in this show is consistency, and it's good to see that Terry brought the new year in, as he did when he was a player, by having a really good night. Terry, how are you?
Yes, I'm a lot better now, thanks, Bill, and happy new year to everyone.
Yes, happy new year to all of our listeners. We hope you had a good Christmas, and we hope you had a good break over the period. Right, let's get straight into it then, chaps, because we've got two games to talk about. We've got the football away days tweet about the O's overcharging those poor Bolton fans, and we've got the transfer window as well as open. So a lot to get on with, and we start off with, probably the dullest game I've ever seen, if I'm honest with you. However, what I will say is, I love a 0-0 draw, because I used to be a defender, and I've said it before, I love to see a team scrap, I love to see a team defend, and I don't care what anyone else says, if you get a clean sheet, right, you're halfway there. Anyway, here's the lineup for the day. So we started off with a 4-2-3-1 formation with Brynning goal, Brown, Beckles, Happy and James at the back, Prattley and El Mazzuni in midfield, Ford, Galbraith and Archibald, and Sotiriou up front on his own. Chaps, what did you think of the lineup? Richie, I'll come across to you first of all.
I mean, I'm not a fan of moving players into positions off, you know, especially when it's a good player like Brown in midfield. I think I like to see him there. I'm not a huge fan of utility players, sort of like they're good in midfield, they're good here. I think generally most players are, I mean, I believe you can be good at the whole way at the back in all positions and stuff. So just in case Terry's looking at me there, but, you know, I think, you know, I'd rather a midfielder stays in midfield somewhere rather than moves to a right back. But, you know, he's played there before and I know he's very good there and stuff. And he had a good game actually. So, and I'd like to have, I mean, as much actually, I thought Ford played well on the right as well. But again, I'd rather have seen him probably in the middle and, possibly Ruel might slightly out wider.
Got to be honest, I'm putting it out here, I way prefer Ford out wide. We had this discussion the other day. He's a lot better to me, a lot more effective out wide. I don't know how the rest of the panel feel, but I don't think, if I'm honest, he's ready for this level of football at the moment. He's a youngster. I think he might well get there. He may well end up playing higher. I don't think he's ready yet. However, I think he looks miles better out wide than he does in the middle. A, because he's not backed up by two just great big honking centre-halves. And B, he gets a bit more space out there. He can see a bit more of the pitch. He's not playing so much with his back to goal. He's decent at running with players. He can't fault his attitude. He works really hard. He hasn't got an end product yet, but again, I think that'll come. But I prefer him out wide. Gareth, go on, I'm coming over to you.
Yep, no, I'd wholeheartedly agree with that, Bill. I think there's a rawness to him, isn't there? I think the sort of building blocks, the actual skills, the physicality, the pace is there. But it's about learning the game and learning where to play and how to play. I always thought he was a little bit, not quite wide enough, a little bit too far towards the middle rather than giving us a real width and option there. But I think he's almost played himself into consideration, hasn't he? Because when he has come on and when he has played, he's made an impact. And because we've constantly say that we don't score enough and we don't carry enough of a threat, then I think he's probably earned the right to be chosen in the front line. It seems to be that he isn't a central option, so I think wide right is probably right for him at the moment. So.
I think it's interesting because, like, so we think back to when Soteriou broke into the team. He started off wide left. And again, I suppose it's that innocence of youth where, you know, there's that lack of fear where I suppose the opposition don't know what they're going to do. Half the time I'm not convinced that Ford knows what he's going to do. Half the time I'm not convinced Soteriou still knows what he's going to do. But, like, they don't know what they're going to do either, and somehow it ends up kind of working. Terry, does that often, that lack of fear from youth team players coming through or younger players?
Yeah, I think the funny thing is at the moment, I think the two wide areas, I think, that Shaq and Dan Ajay, they're the two I'd put in the wide areas at the moment. I think we're still left with a bit of an issue up the middle. But them two at the moment are offering us a little bit something different at the moment. And I think that ability to be able to take players on, you saw in the game against Charlton, going back two games, the winning goal came from a wide area where Dan got round the back.
Yeah.
And about 2 minutes after it, Shaq done exactly the same thing. And actually, he did pick out a very good pass to Rule. More of that's needed, and as you say, he's a little bit green and raw at the moment, but he's got something. And say, I think you can see his confidence is rising a little bit. We spoke to him, we got the man of the match, and we spoke to him up in the lounge afterwards, and he said he feels like he's feeling more part of it now, which is all good. I think the fact that we're not losing helps confidence of players as well. But as I say, them two players at the moment, in the absence of Jordan Graham, and I know, like, obviously Theo is a wide player, but I think them two offer something a little bit different to what Theo does at the moment.
Interestingly, I prefer Theo on the left. I feel like when he's on the left, he stretches defences more, he gives us more width, so therefore he's more of an out ball. But I know that Richie likes to play him on the right-hand side as an inverted winger. Rich?
Yeah, I think last season, because we had Paul Smith on the left, didn't we? So we had Theo. But yeah, I mean, I always preferred him on the left, but, you know, he was brilliant on the right last year as well. So I've got to be honest, I don't mind as much. I mean, I do like, because Dan Ajay, I think he's right-footed, right? So if he plays, I like when they can cut in on that. So I think what Theo does well on that right is he cuts in on his left and he can curl one in, because, you know, we haven't really seen anywhere near enough goals. I don't think he scores enough on the left. That's my only issue, I think, on the left. I think he's much better at getting in the positions and putting the ball across, but I don't think he's as threatening with his shooting on the left-hand side. But I think on the right, where he can cut in, I think he looks really good there. And I think that's what he did quite effective last year. And I say, like, if, you know, for me, I think our wingers at the moment, for me, would be Theo and Dan Ajay, whichever way round they, you know, switching in games or whatever. I think the issue is still who goes in that centre position for me. I think, you know, I still think there's something there with Pigger. I think one of the things with our strikers, they strike me as players who would be better in a front two rather than just on their own, kind of with two guys playing off of them. You know, I think Pigott and Ford, maybe, you know, the classic big man, small man kind of thing. But they both, I mean, 4-4-2 just doesn't exist in football, I don't think, anymore, does it? So you can't really have that. But you know, if we're going with three, I'd probably still pick Soteriou. He's probably the main finisher for me, but he's, you know, he's only young. I think people do forget that because he's been with us a while and made a lot of appearances. But, you know, I still think Ruel's got a good future ahead of him in the game. I think he's going to be, I think I might have said this the other day, like, he's going to be kind of a Hector Kyprianou.
Yeah, yeah.
Where I think once he goes somewhere else, we'll realise just how good. I mean, it was a bit different because I think he's played for us a lot more than Hector. But I can just see his finishing for me. I just think he's a great finisher, that's the thing. But he's just inconsistent at the moment. I think he's just got to get that, change that level. And I think, you know, give it a few years, I think we'll realise he's a good, very good League One striker, I think. I'm guessing that anyway.
Terry's disagreeing. I mean, I like Soteriou. He offers you a goal threat, and I think, and he's a goal scorer, and I think that it's one of the things where you know, every team needs a goal scorer, and Ruel can break the lines. He can create a chance out of nothing. However, what lets him down is his first touch. His first touch needs to massively improve if he's going to play at a higher level.
The reason I was shaking my head at what Rich said, not that I don't think Ruel's a good player, I think Hector's got levels he can go up further and further. I think Ruel, I personally think, is at his ceiling now, possibly. He's young and he might improve, but for me, he hasn't got the scope to improve like Hector. When I saw Hector play, you could see he was a proper footballer.
Yeah.
You know, lovely, very sort of very smooth pass move, whatever. And he has, it looks like, from what I hear, he's doing well at Peterborough.
Yeah, by all accounts.
He's got a little bit of interest.
Yeah,
and I think he's got that ability to maybe go up another division. time will tell. I mean, I say I'm not disagreeing with Rich in the sense of that I don't think Rule can play.
You are.
I just I just don't think. I think that Hector, as I say, he's got more in him to go further, I think, at this moment in time. And that's not to say Rule, as we sometimes forget, as you said, he's young and he's still got time to improve.
Right, so, I mean, that's a nice segue into it, because unfortunately now we are going to be missing Rule Sotiriou for the next 4 weeks. Obviously, he pulled up with a hamstring in the first half against Wigan, which allowed Dan Ajay to come on up front. And obviously, that's something we've already talked about briefly about Dan Ajay. Where do we see him playing then? I know you guys have kind of mentioned you prefer to see him out wide at the moment. He's playing down the middle. We talked about Piggott there, and Richie has kind of, well, he hasn't just intimated, he's actually flat out said, look, when we play Joe up front, he hasn't got the pace to close down as we want to close down, and so therefore we can't play as I want to play. And Dan Ajay, where he has got that pace, he has got that work ethic, he allows us to press defences, and it means we can play higher up the pitch. What do you guys think on that? Terry, I'll start with you, yeah, then I'll come over to you, Gather.
Right, so to just, like, the sort of the Joe Piggott conundrum is that really, he would thrive maybe on a service coming from wide, but if we play Theo on the right cutting in and we play a left cutting in on the right, he's not going to get that service, you know.
Terry, do you think that Pigs could play in the 10? Because so far this season we've played Rule Sotiriou there in the main. We've played Ethan Galbraith played there the other night, and I thought he had an exceptional game, by the way, but we'll come on to him in a little bit. But do you think he could give you that physicality in the 10, or do you just, with someone playing beyond him, or do you just think he's just lacking that mobility?
I think he's got the technique to play as a 10.
Yeah, yeah.
But you just said it there, the physicality. That's what's letting him down a little bit at the moment.
Physicality or mobility? Because I think he's strong, he's good in the air.
Well, listen, look, it's like one of the best players who had no pace to play, Teddy Sheringham. He had the technique and the awareness to, and I think Joe's got the awareness. See, and he looks for players, and but he's got to he's got to toughen up a little bit for me. You know, that's where he's let himself down a little bit. So he could play as a 10. I still don't know. That still lives with the issue of who plays 9. But I certainly think it's something they could look at if we needed to experiment a little bit.
Because I suppose if he played in the 10, then that would allow you to possibly play Ford in the 9 or Ajay in the 9 and keep Ford out wide.
Well, you said it earlier that with Shaq, I think he struggles with his back to the game. You mentioned it earlier. So maybe he wouldn't have to play so much with his back to the game, and maybe we could, like, thread some balls through and whatever, you know. And I think that links in what we're going to talk about maybe with Galbraith. He could be the person I think we need to get on the ball more.
Gareth, coming over to you. Just about Joe Piggott in the 10.
Well, Joe Piggott in the 10, I'm not convinced, I'll be honest, because he played there in the, was it away at Gillingham in the cup game, and he played there, and it's like everybody was talking about, well, this is the position that suits him, not the number 9 role. And he didn't really do anything. And I think the thinking was perhaps, he looks like a big unit, he looks like he could be a number 9, he looks like a sort of guy who'll get on the end of crosses. And maybe the thinking was Archibald left, Graham right, big guy in the middle, that's going to work. But I've been puzzled, because I was always convinced that Ajay was a right-sided, a wide player. But every time he's come on, pretty much, he's played through the middle. And I suspect the feeling was that he was going to be the central striker.
Yeah, agreed.
Perhaps swapping with Drinnen, despite, you know, we know that Drinnen's disappeared because of injuries. So I think he was destined to be the central forward. And Piggott was brought in as, he was available backup and an option that we might be able to change things, or he might be able to slot in. But because Ajay got injured at the beginning of the season, we didn't get that chance to do it. So I think we're beginning to see what Richie was thinking in terms of the front line.
Yeah. All right, well, let's go back to the game then, just quickly. I mean, overall, it was a poor game. Tom James was unlucky with an attempt in the first half, and then Ford should have done better after Ajay had put him through later on in the second half. Positives, we've already mentioned that Ford looks good out wide, looks much better. Ethan Galbraith. I think he is an exceptional player, a really good signing. He glides around the pitch. He's like a Rolls Royce. He makes everything look so easy. And I think the one thing that the team lacks is we don't get the ball to him early enough. He picks up so many good positions, and we just don't find him early enough.
Yeah, exactly. I watched his movement. I watched him closely in the Wickham game, and he is perpetual motion. He does not. Yeah. He does not stop. What we've got to get better at doing is finding him in that little hole. We done it once. It was a great pull. He took it on the half turn. We ran it. We've got to do that more often. I've talked about being braver when we play.
Yeah.
I think sometimes we play a lot of safe football.
Left and right, yes, side to side. Yeah.
I think we've got to look at ticket and listen. All three of them boys, like Idris, Brown and Galbraith, are all capable of playing on the half turn. They're all technically good. I think that's a key for us in the second half of the season. If we want to sort of create a little bit more, I think we've got to be a little bit less predictable. I think sometimes we sort of move the ball around what I call the horseshoe, like we go out, yeah, run. And I think when we've done, and Galbraith is the one who looks like he's gonna pick the lock of the defence. He gets into some great positions, and I think that might develop. That's going back to what Rich said earlier about, if we kept Jordan Brown in midfield, they can develop that. Them three in there can develop that.
It's about partnerships, right?
Yeah, of course it is. All you know, if you look at the moment at the back, I think Omar and Dan have played together. It's a partnership. You know, the defence looks, you know, I know we've had still one or two injuries, but I think James, Beckles and Happy have played more or less the last... And they look more set. It looks better. And it's the same with our midfield. And Rich was quite right in saying that earlier. Like, if you've got someone who's good in there, keep playing them in there. Try and find someone else to go in them other areas.
I mean, I think we've been, again, we look at the injuries we've got. We've been really unlucky with our forward players, in so much that when you look, you know, we've had Royal Soteriou, obviously he's picked up an injury. Drynan's picked up an injury. Hajé's been out with an injury, you know. Obviously, they've played Ford there. They've played Piggott there. Theo's been fairly consistent when he's played, which has been good. But again, he's played on the left, he's played on the right, he's played in the 10 as well. I would I'd be really excited to see if we could get a run of games where we had Theo, we had Galbraith in the 10, we had Ajay up front, you know, Ford out wide, because all four of them, A, give you a massive amount of work rate, B, real quality on the ball, and they're not afraid to, you know, you saw the other night against Cambridge when Theo cut inside and took a shot of his left foot, crashed off the bar sort of thing, you know. And as we said, Ajay, you know, hit the post, you know, and scored as well, you know. And there was I've got to go and check my notes now and stuff like that, but we hit the woodwork three times during that game against Cambridge. Gareth.
Yeah, well, that's the attacking threat that we've been missing, isn't it? And I think it goes back to what we're saying. You're beginning to see the emergence of the team, aren't you? I think Terry's just outlined the back four. It's probably James, Beckles, Happy, Hunt. The midfield is probably Brown, El Mazzouni and Galbraith. And the front line at the moment is all about Ajay in the middle, flanked by Ford and Archibald, isn't it? And I think you're beginning to see the difference. I mean, I can't remember the last time, or if we have this season, hit the woodwork three times. So, you know, and we're actually creating, and we scored two goals, don't forget, as well.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's beginning to, the threat that we didn't have is beginning to emerge, because we're getting to where we wanted to be, I think. So.
It feels like we need that consistency there, because ultimately, you know, I almost feel sometimes it's easier for defenders to, because, you know, the centre halves can build a partnership together. As you said, Dan Appy and Beckles have played together all last season, so they've got that relationship there already. Whereas the front four boys, or you know, don't have that. You know, so when they're making runs off the ball and stuff like that, what you saying about the bravery tale, you can only be brave if you're confident that someone's going to make that run or someone's going to be in that space. And it's really difficult if you don't know who you're playing with from one game to the next, because Moncur is not going to make the same run as Galbraith. And we saw it the other night where, you know, when we played against Cambridge, we made two changes and Galbraith got moved back to right back and Brown got put in the midfield.
Yeah, so I was just about to bring this up. Yeah, because I think one of the things that holds us back a little bit is Richie still doesn't know what his best 11 is, as in the position they're in. Because, I mean, when I saw that, because originally I thought, is he covering for him now? I thought, surely he's not playing him at right back. But to be fair, he didn't actually have a bad game, actually.
When I was like...
Especially the second half, I thought he looked really good, actually.
Yeah, I was trying to work out why Richie did that. And the only reason I can think of is that we know Brophy has pace, and Galbraith's quicker than Brown. And I just wonder whether Richie's looked at it and gone, Brown can play in the midfield, Sanders needs some minutes, I can drop Galbraith in at right back, and you know, we know that he's got the pace to cover in if Brophy does start running at him.
Yeah, I mean, I think,
and it, you know, yeah, I just wondered that. But
you said so. I think it was you that said something similar to that. I was thinking, because whenever I've seen Sanders, he looks better in that holding role, actually. Yeah, I mean,
yeah,
he doesn't look as effective for me playing in that number 10.
Agreed.
And I didn't think, he was probably one of the few players I didn't think, you know, I didn't really notice him much at Cambridge. I know everyone sort of played well, and he you know, he was okay, but I didn't really notice him doing much there. And this is another thing, as sort of we mentioned earlier, and Terry just said that it's good. It'd be good to, I mean, I understand as well, obviously the game's around the new year and Christmas, they're fast, so you've got to move them and change them around,
yeah,
the team. But it would be good to get some consistency, because the best period we've had this season, kind of that October period, was when, you know, Brown and El Mizouni and Galbraith in front of them. And then, you know, the next thing, Galbraith was dropped to the bench and he didn't seem to play for a long time after that. And, you know, I'm still unsure why that happened, really. I know someone said, Matt Harrell did an interview where he said, oh, we don't feel he's quite ready yet or at a level, which doesn't make sense to me, to be honest. But, you know, maybe they see a lot more in training than we do, obviously. Mm. So,
I think it's tough sometimes with the young boys, because I do think that they can be overplayed early on, and therefore it then is detrimental to their game sometimes. But then sometimes it goes the other way.
If you're in and out of the team. We were in a bad period when he did drop him, and it was difficult for him to get back to that level.
Yeah,
but,
yeah,
you know, I think Sanders is good cover for them. We've still got Prattley, who can put in the odd performance still at this level as well. But yeah, I mean, I think without Galbraith in that 10, I think the creativity isn't there. As much as Ruel does a good job there, he scored those goals. I mean, Monca, I think we can see this season isn't the answer, and I'll be surprised if possibly he's even here beyond the end of this month. Certainly, I don't see him being here beyond the end of this season.
We'll save that for later on. But yeah, no, you make a good point here, because, you know, Monca's on good money, and I would imagine he's probably one of the better played players in the team. And right now, if we're honest about it, we're not getting value for money, I would suggest. Terry, you're shaking your head?
Yeah, no, I agree. I think George has been ever so disappointing. You know, he can't...
George Moncur as well, that's the thing, isn't it?
Like, we know the kid can play, we know that. But he's a bit of a passenger at the moment, isn't he? And, you know, we touched on it earlier. The boys are working really hard. One thing you can't fault the team for is their work rate. And for me, he's sort of flitting in and out of games. You know, he might get you a goal and he might do this. Well, might ain't good enough at the moment. I think all the boys that are in there are there on merit, and he doesn't really seem to be knocking down the door to get placed in the team.
Do you know what I notice about the difference between Moncur and Galbraith? First of all, it's the ability to get around the pitch and cover the ground. But what I would say as well, when Galbraith's in the team, gets it one touch and go. When Moncur gets the ball, he wants 3, 4, 5 touches before he releases it.
There was an instance of that, I think, on Friday, when he carried it and he ended up stopping and checking out, and he lost it in the end. He didn't know what to do, and I think he lost it. You know, and you say, with Galbraith, he seems a lot clearer in what he wants to do.
It's like Galbraith, he has a plan. He can see the game, and he knows when the ball comes in here, this is where it's going. And it feels to me like Moncur is, one thing I will say, is he will always show for the ball. When he's on that beat, he never hides, but he gets the ball, and I don't think he's got a clear picture in his mind of what's going on around him, which is why he's got a one touch, two touch, like shield the ball then, because someone's coming to close him down. And by that point, it's too late. You know, the ball needed to be released earlier. Anyway, let's move on to the Cambridge game then. So, you know, I would say it was one of our best performances of the season, is the first thing. So, as mentioned earlier on, Richie made two changes. So we stuck with the 4-2-3-1 formation, but we went with Bryn, Galbraith, Beckles and Happy and James at the back. So Galbraith coming in at right back with Brown and Elmiz in the holding role in the midfield. And then we had Ford, Sanders, Archibald and Ajayi in the forward positions. Sanders playing in the 10. So again, another player playing in the 10. As Rich and I have mentioned earlier on, we prefer to see him play in a deeper role. Gareth?
Yeah, no, I think it just follows on for the conversation you guys were just having. Think about what Moncur does. It slows the ball moving up the pitch, which slows us down, which stops the attacking threat. And I think that was very evident. I'm not criticising Sanders because, you know, he's making his way, he's had injuries, he's trying to prove himself in the team. But it was noticeable that he slowed things down way more than Galbraith does, and it just supports the point you were making before, doesn't it? We need somebody to move it and create things quickly. You know, even if it doesn't come off, at least we're trying it rather than going round and round and round, aren't we, sir?
Yeah, I mean, like I say, Cambridge were poor. Cambridge were really, really poor. But we can only beat what's in front of us at the end of the day. We hit the woodwork three times, as I mentioned earlier on. So Ajay, Theo both hitting the woodwork. Joe Piggott coming on, hitting the bar in the second half. Lads, I want to take a moment just to mark this point in the season where we scored from a corner. And I think that it's a momentous occasion. I think that Darryl McMahon will be watching and will be wondering why things just didn't happen while he was at the club. All facetiousness aside, look, we scored from a corner, which is great. You know, Dan Brown, the author, Jordan Brown, finishing from close range in the 54th minute. Richie, did it ever go through your mind that we were playing so well we were going to lose the game 1-0? In a typical Orient fashion.
I mean, you know, that first half, I mean, I did think, I mean, I saw Neil Harris's interview after, he was pretty, you know, better team one, but he did say, I thought we shaded the first half. I thought, I could see his point of view because they were the home team, but I thought first half we were okay as well. It was pretty even to me. But you're right, that second half was kind of like watching some games last season, I felt. It was complete dominance. I mean, they were dreadful, but we looked really good. We were pressing really well, and it could have been more. It should have been more, really. And you know, I think one of the frustrations, I think under Richie Wellens, I haven't seen a complete 90-minute performance yet. I remember a couple of times last season we got sort of 60, 70 minutes, and then the other team would be on top. And I'd love to see a game where we just completely dominate from start to finish. But you know, since that first 10 minutes of Bolton, we've looked a different team, really. And you know, the half-time team talk, the rollicking that they got, has obviously done something, because you know, I say the Wickham game, it wasn't great, but I still felt, you know, they were there for the taking. We could have done better, but you know, that second half performance was, yeah, you're right, probably as good as I think I've seen this season, really. And it's just a shame we couldn't have got a few more goals, to be honest. I don't want to be greedy, but you know, that's what it felt like, really.
Do you know, going back to what you just said there about the Wickham game, there was a bit of a disagreement on our WhatsApp group, wasn't there? Because some people were happy I was happy with the 0-0 because it was 4 points out of six at the time. And my point was that if we'd have done it the other way around, if we'd have drawn with Charlton and then beaten Wickham, you know, you'd have been happy with that. Because we beat Charlton and then drew with Wickham, people were sort of saying, no, we should have got 6 points and we'll regret that later on in the season potentially and stuff. But I'm always happy with 4 points out of six, because over the course of the season, 2 points a game is going to get you there or thereabouts, right?
If you beat the top team and then you lose to the bottom team the next game, or draw with the bottom team, then you're always going to look at that and go, oh, you know, because the thing is with Wickham, and you know, they were there for the taking, just like Cambridge, really. That was the, you know, Sadlier had that chance in the first half, and other than that, they did nothing, did they? But yeah, you know, I just think, yeah, that's the frustration for me, is we could have had more points, I think, that's the thing. And I think the Wickham performance, we were the better team in that as well. We should have had more points, really. It should have been 9 instead of 7.
Terry, how does that feel from a professional footballer's point of view when you go out and you beat a team who, you know, you're expected to lose to, possibly, and then you draw with a team that you're expected to beat? How does that affect the dressing room? I mean, I suppose it's not so bad if it's a 0-0, because obviously you're keeping clean sheets.
I don't think we look at it like that, Bill. I don't think we look at it through the same eyes as you do, because I said afterwards, I said that was so frustrating because they were awful, Wickham. I can't believe they scored 3 goals against Bristol Rovers, because watching them on Friday night, we weren't great, but we were better than them. And the amount of times we were in the last third and we couldn't pick a pass out, or we made a bad decision. But I was amazed at how bad they were, honestly. And so I done the interview with Shag after upstairs, and I said to him, that dressing room must be really frustrating. It was, because as I say, we didn't really create many chances, but yeah. So we dominated territorially. We were in their half most of the second half, but as I say, we lacked, and it looked like we we developed that. From that game, we developed the Cambridge game where we did create chances and should have scored more. We got the two, should have scored more. I think it was 2 points dropped on Friday. I'll take your point. 4 points out of six, we'd have taken that before.
Clean sheets in a row.
I'll tell you, that's not to be sniffed at. That's, I just say, take out the first 7 minutes at Bolton. We've not conceded a goal for nearly four games. And fair play. And do you know what? That really helps the team. Because, you know, I always say, when you're not scoring goals, it does put a bit of pressure on you defensively. But they're really coming through at the moment. You know, as a team, it's not just a defence, but we're looking a bit more solid. Charlton, Wickham and Cambridge don't offer the most attacking wise, but nonetheless.
I mean, May's got 20 goals or whatever it is.
As you said before, you can only do well against stuff against the team you're playing, and we've done that very well.
What do you think, Gareth, was the main difference then between the Cambridge game and the Wickham game? Obviously, as I said, you know, we scored two goals, we hit the woodwork three times, you know. It wouldn't have flattered us if we would have won that Cambridge game 5 or 6 nil, you know. What would you say the main difference was between the two games?
If I had the answer, I'd be a magician, wouldn't I? But, an expert, yes. I think it may have been slight fatigue element. Yeah, you know, it was a tough game against Charlton, and we got there in the end, but the goal only came 10 minutes from time, and it's quite an intense game, wasn't it? So it took quite a lot out of the players. But I think it's also the approach. I think Charlton probably quite fancied it, didn't they? They thought, we'll come to Leighton Orient, we'll get them beat, and then we'll move on from there. But at the same time, I think Wickham knew they weren't going to come and beat us, so it's kind of survival tactics, wasn't it? So perhaps that didn't
they
help.
They certainly sharp shop. I mean, they brought on another centre-half with 15 minutes to go, you know? That tells you everything you need to know about what they wanted from the game.
The Wickham fans' response as well, I think, told you everything about it.
Wickham, yeah.
So I think they knew that's what they'd gone for. There was no real effort to score from their part, was there? So, yeah, I mean, I suppose as an away team, that's your job, right? Just to make sure you don't concede more than anything else. And then if that's the case, then they did it effectively, I guess. But, yeah, I mean, it wasn't great for the viewer. But, yeah, it's Terry said, it's the frustration, really, because, you know, we didn't really create the chances. I think that's the annoying thing. It's not like their keeper was having a worldie and we were missing all these chances. We still... You know, it's probably the thing we've been lacking most this season still. We're just not quite creating those chances still. I mean, you know, even the Cambridge game, I could throw that argument there slightly, which is why it only finished 2-0, because, you know, neither of them were clean goals as such, were they? And I'd like to see, you know, just like us to... Tom James is to larrap it in at the top corner for once this season or something.
To be fair to Tom James, he was unlucky against Wickham.
A free kick got saved by
and the one where he cut inside and he hit it, and the keeper's gone full length and saved it as well. You know,
I actually think it's nice to score a couple of scruffy goals. We don't do that enough. I think last season how many great goals did we score last season? It was amazing. And I'd say my criticism was that we don't get enough bread and butter goals. So from that aspect, it was good. Just going back to the difference, I think it was we end product. So Dan Ajay, I think running it, but was getting shots off. Theo got a shot away from. We don't shoot enough from around, but we've started to do that a bit more. Maybe that's the difference, and it brings a bit of confidence, you know. I'm just trying to think of our other chances. Joe Pickett won it at the bar. He scrapped well for it. And just shot. You know, it weren't trying to look for. Just, you know, sometimes you see the whites of the keeper's eyes have a go, and it just looked like we were a little bit clearer in what we wanted to do in that final third, as opposed to Friday at Wickham, where it seemed a bit fuzzy.
So what I like about Dan Ajay, I know we've talked about whether we play him out wide or whether we play him down the middle. I like the fact that he's direct. For a winger, he's half strong as well, you know. And he's actually good with his back to goal, you know. Like, he reminds me a bit of like a black Mark Hughes. Gets his backside stuck out, right? Gets his feet dug in, and he holds his ground, and he's so strong.
It just makes you, you know, we were saying, like, play Shaq on the right, there on the left, and maybe give him another go there as he's getting stronger and fitter. Because you say he can play if he's back to the game. Yeah. He rolls defenders, he knows how to roll a defender. So it might be worth looking at that and saying, well, that might be the front three. I know earlier I said I prefer him wide, but he's probably the best person we've got as a centre forward at the moment.
And I think what he does give you as well is he gives you that option in behind, because he's got so much pace and he's so direct. He's not afraid to hold the ball up. It'll work for you. And I think that there'll be, I think that there'll be games where defenders will try and get close to him and he'll spin and he'll go. And if that's the case, then all of a sudden the game opens up, because they've got to drop off 5 yards. It brings Galbraith into play even more in the 10, or whoever it is that plays in that 10. And then, you know, it allows you then to play.
Well, listen, what you said there, it goes back to what a little criticism I've had of the way we play, is that we don't move the other team around enough. You know, they get their shape, but that does, what you just said is correct. It makes them change the way they try to defend. And if they do start dropping off, it does create more space and allows Galbraith, Idris and Brown, whoever's playing there, it creates more space. So the effect of that is obviously a very positive one.
And that was one of the things we mentioned last season, that we play a lot of football in front of the defence and we don't necessarily stretch them. And that was where, when we had Paul Smith last season, that was one of the things he was not afraid to do. He'd make those little runs where the defender would have to, sometimes he'd go in behind, sometimes he'd just give a 5 yard burst, dead drop off, he'd then come back into the space and collect the ball. And again, I think that's one of the things we've lacked this season, with it's about people breaking the lines, right? And that's where Raul Sotiriou is really effective at times. When he does break through from that 10, he breaks through and goes in beyond. We haven't done enough of that this season. We've looked at our best when players like El Miz breaks the lines, Sotiriou breaks the lines, you know, Theo gets the ball out wide and runs at players and stuff. Exactly what you mentioned earlier on, Terry, about Dan Ashe got the ball out wide, beat their defender, got to the byline, cut the ball back, and that's where we scored against Charlton. So, Gareth?
Yeah, no, I'd agree. And I think actually he's got this, it's an interesting skill. I first noticed that Bristol, whether it's a skill or not, I don't know. But it's almost he gets tackled and he's going down and he gets back up and he's still got the ball at his feet and carries on. Yeah,
it's got
yeah.
Unbelievable
and
balance,
that helps
right?
to break up the defence, doesn't it?
Yeah, so. Yeah. And that he actually perfectly sums up his goal the other night. I think he spent more time on the floor than
he
did.
Went down twice, didn't he?
Yeah, went down twice. But what I noticed was the defenders were so terrified to get too tight to him that even when he went down, he had enough time to get back up because they'd backed off because they didn't want that ball going in behind him. And in the end, that's what led to the goal, because the defender backed off him. He was able to regain his feet, take an absolutely ferocious shot which went between the defender's legs and through the goalkeeper as well.
Just as a sideline to that as well, like something, teams now watching us, they might start doubling up on him. That should help us at all, because that creates, that means they've got one less elsewhere.
Yeah.
So there's a number of positive anomalies that come out of it. Not just the fact that the boy makes us a better team, for several reasons he makes us a better team.
All right, so we finished the Christmas period then with 7 points out of 9, 3 clean sheets in a row. We're now 11 points off the playoffs, so who's getting excited? Hands up. And we're 9 points away from the relegation zone, but we won't mention that too much. Let's hear from Richie Wellens and see what he made of it all.
Richie, thanks for joining us. The perfect way to start the new year.
Yeah, well, I just thought this for 20, 25 minutes of the second half, at the start of the second half, we can't, not blew him away, but we was a lot better than in what we wanted to do. First half, we didn't switch the ball, we didn't pass it well enough, and we wanted to pass it today. But then that 25-minute spell was really, really good. Defensively, very solid all game. I can't remember really conceding a chance to a team that are difficult to beat here. You know, and we could have had, you know, a couple more goals today.
Absolutely. How important is it that Dan Ajoy has got his first for the club?
Well, I think the supporters straight away can see what a threat he carries. And we've signed him because he can play right, he can play left, and he can play centre forward. I think that he'll grow in confidence. I think it's his first goal in 4 or 5 months, because obviously he's been out injured. And you know, he can take a lot from that game in terms of confidence for his goal, but a lot from it physically, because we are a hard team to play up front for. You know, and what I ask of him, set up the rest of the team, and if the strikers don't do it, it has a knock-on effect on the rest of our team, the way that we press, the way that we play. So I thought also in that he was very, very good, so he can be pleased with his day's work today.
Jordan Brown took his goal well.
Yeah, Brownie's got goals in. I'm pleased that we scored from a set play. We're trying to Brownie scores his goal because he's not in there already. He's got the patience to just stay out, a bit like I talk to the players all the time about cricketers. You know, when a bowler's running into bowl, you don't see the fielder's already stood in there. they get into certain positions and then they start to walk as they can see the flight of the ball and go from there. But no, good finish, and pleased for Brownie as well, because he was ill for a couple of 2-3 days and then we put him out to right back, and obviously we thought it was a game where he could influence midfield today, and I thought he did.
It was a wonderful strike from Theo Archibald that crashed against the bar, and Joe Piggott also denied by the woodwork.
Yeah. Sorry, I've got a bit of a cough, haven't I? Like I said, we had a few one-on-ones. The keeper pulled off a good save from Dan Agge, and we hit the frame of the bar a couple of times. So, no, listen, we look a goal threat now. We look like we're getting better from set plays. And like I said, probably I think it was definitely half-time from Bolton. Our press has changed and we're more aggressive and it suits us.
Three consecutive clean sheets.
Again, no, but it's because my back four are not being overworked all the time. You know, that was a massive benchmark of us last year, and it's non-negotiable, you know. So the wingers, if we play a 10, obviously today we played 2 8s, or the striker, they have to press in a certain way, and if they don't, then they don't play, because there's too many times this season where we've come away from that and they're asking too much of our back four and our goalkeeper, and it's difficult.
There weren't too many negatives, but 5 yellow cards, they all seemed unnecessary.
Yeah, a little petty again. I don't know if you see me smile about 2-3 minutes ago, because that was Theo walking past me. It's part of the game, and he sarcastically clapped the referee. We kicked the ball away a couple of times. We could have tried to break the game up. And that's the new rules. You can't do it, but it's really difficult to control your emotions when that has happened. This is the first year that them rules have been really strict. Usually you can get away, if you touch it 5 yards, we're not talking about kicking it away 30 yards. Now if you touch it 5 yards, it's an automatic booking. But we've been, you know, these lads have had 5, 10, 15 years of football where you're allowed to just kick it free, and you're not allowed. So it's something that we're aware of. It's something that the chairman spoke to me about probably 2-3 months ago, and we have got better. But again, I think it was Theo. Theo was just a nightmare, and and then obviously Shaq, a little bit of an experience. Galbraith, a little bit of an experience. But again, we'll keep learning, we'll keep getting better.
And those supporters really enjoyed it, didn't they?
Brilliant today. Even from the warm-up, the players must have been buzzing warming up, because obviously behind the goal was full. He never stopped singing. This is probably the most enjoyable away game we've had this year in terms of what the supporters contributed. Maybe they're all hungover from last night or still pissed. You never know. So I thought, if they can carry on like that, then they're brilliant. When they're like that, they're brilliant.
After this one of the results, is next week's West Mike welcome, or would you rather be playing?
No, I'd rather be playing. Because at the moment, Blackpool are a really, really, really good team at home, but not in great form away. So it breaks up a bit of momentum. But we have got some tired bodies. So listen, it is what it is, isn't it? You want a game because you're winning, but then you have to take the positive. It is what it is. So we need to take the positive out. It will give the players 2 or 3 days rest now, and then we'll come back preparing for I think Portsmouth away, is it, in 2 weeks' time, which is obviously going to be a tough game.
It's going to be huge, isn't it?
Well, it's about 100-yard pitch by about 60. There's white lines on it. He's 11v11. It don't matter. Portsmouth have been in the Premier League, but the reason why they're in League One is because something has gone wrong at their football club for a long year, and we're in League One. So I think we're a better team, or more savvy now than when we played them. I got a bit of stick off Portsmouth fans when I said to them that he didn't really do much to beat us. And it was actually a compliment to the fact that they are well-rounded, experienced, strong, that they come to our place and was just okay, and he won 4-0. That's a real big compliment I gave him, but some of their supporters give me stick thinking I was saying they're not good. It was actually a real efficient performance by them, and it was a compliment.
And finally for me, Richie, is any chance of some departures or arrivals before that trip to the South Coast?
Well, we would like a couple more, because obviously we don't know. Theo's got a problem, but he's getting through it. Ruel is obviously ruled out for 2 to 3 weeks. And what I want to do is I want to start us up for 67 minutes. And if we do tire, we can bring fresh legs on to continue what we do without really changing that much. So I think we need an extra forward. There won't be too much movement, but we'll wait and see.
Good luck. Happy New Year. Thank you, Richie. Well done.
No problem.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Richie. We really appreciate that. And we'll pass over to Dave Victor.
The new year opened with a sort of performance that brought such success in 2023. At Cambridge, the O's won the midfield battle, solid at the back and presented a constant threat in attack. Just like last season, supporters left the ground knowing that their side could and probably should have scored more. But it's now three consecutive clean sheets, 7 points from a possible nine. Great to see Dan Ajayi open his account, and Jordan Brown accepted the opportunity well. It really did feel like the return to the form that enabled Richie Welland's side to be crowned champions with three matches remaining. And after such a hectic, festive period, some might argue that the enforced break is a welcome and much-needed boost. But I think it's a shame that we denied the opportunity to build on the momentum gained from the recent performances and results before we head to Fratton Park to face leaders Pompey, who, like the O's, were knocked out of the Cup by Chesterfield. But at least John Mousinho's side have a league fixture to prepare for this weekend. Portsmouth travel to Cheltenham. It's 7 wins and 4 draws, 1 defeat at home, identical record to that on their travels. Blackpool, the only side to return from the South Coast with maximum points, although the weekend before Christmas, Fleetwood gained an unexpected point. It feels like Orient have progressed since that painful defeat inflicted by Portsmouth in E10 back in August. When we finally do return to action on the 13th of January, we'll be able to get an objective view of the progress our club has made since returning to the third tier. Happy New Year. It's going to be an interesting one at Brisbane Road.
And thank you so much, Dave. Thank you so much, Dave. That's really, really appreciated as well. Victor's view. We always love to hear Victor's view. Right. We saw a tweet earlier on from Football Away Days, which was moaning about the O's charging £29 for Bolton, when they only charged our fans £10 for the game at Bolton, which, to be honest, I still think we should be refunded, but, you know. What do we think? Does anyone really care? Anyone bothered by it? Rich, I know you said you weren't earlier. Go on.
Well, I'd like to see how much Bolton charged Derby and Portsmouth when they came to there. I mean, I'm pretty sure it wasn't a tenner. You know, you charge against the smaller clubs. You charge like a tenner for those. We've done it against, was it Port Vale and the Lincoln games, we charged a tenner.
When we know we're not going to fill the away end,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, so I don't understand. I mean, we're probably going to be a few quid more expensive because of our area, like geographically, where we're in London. But I'd guarantee that they'd charge at least 25, 26 for bigger teams when they come to us. So I have absolutely no idea what they're moaning about. And shut up.
Twitter is in uproar, though, Gareth. I mean, you know, surely if Twitter is in uproar, then they must be in the right and we must be in the wrong.
Well, that's it. I mean, they might as well pack up at the club now, isn't it? Because if you're charging too much money, you know, according to... I mean, as somebody who goes pretty much to every away game... you know, you take it, you pay a certain amount here, you pay a certain amount there, and you just kind of get used to it. I mean, it's nowhere near what you pay in the Premier League, so it's not that bad, is it? But it's teams trying to make money. It's, I think somebody put, it might have even been you, Bill, on the chat, didn't they? That if some of the money got passed down, yeah, from the Premier League, yeah, then we could make, you know, away tickets a lot cheaper for all the fans. But, you know, that's the way the game's geared, isn't it? So we talk about Orient trying to get more money, trying to get more revenue, etc. And one way to do it is to price accordingly, isn't it? So.
I must be honest, I don't make that many away games now, but I have done previously, and I don't ever really remember looking at the ticket price. You just go, are you going to that game? Yeah. When's the train times? Like, because, you know, it's never really something that's occurred to me. If you've made the decision to go, go. Like, and the cost is the cost, and that's it. And if it's a tenner, bonus. If it's 30 quid, all right, well, it's, you know, it feels expensive, but... just that's part of the price. Get on with it.
You don't ask when the train goes. You ask, is there a train going?
Well, bit of politics.
Ooh.
So yeah. There is that. When does the train supposed to go? When does it get cancelled? Is probably the better answer, isn't it? Yeah. But I mean, look. I don't know what people are going on about X, and I'm sure that they'll listen to this and there'll be a backlash again, and we'll have some angry people on the thing telling us why we're wrong. But I don't get it. You know, to my mind, let the club get in as much revenue as you can, because then we might be able to sign some more players. You know, charge them 35 or in. Do you know what I mean? Just to really, really rub their noses in it. Rich, go on over to you.
I said, yeah, do that, and then just drop it by five the day before or something, and just say, there we go, it's 29 now, so let's see. But yeah, I mean, as Gareth just said, you know, you're going to get charged a lot more at Premiership games. I mean, you're there to support your team. I've never got a ticket, and not I wouldn't say not looked at a price, but you know, it's never occurred to me. I mean, what, you know, is there, you know, I've got to be honest, I'm not a fan of the whole tiered thing really, because you know, the only argument I could possibly see is that, you know, maybe there's League One prices, there's League, I mean, I can understand it in the Premiership, I can, because Arsenal Man U's going to get a lot more than Man U Bournemouth, so you know, I understand it there, but at this level, I mean, you know, but you know, it's not quite like it was, say, when Terry was playing, because I mean, there does seem to be a lot more, you know, those really big teams now. I mean, you know, in those days, you had Stokes and West Broms, but they probably weren't, they didn't feel like the sort of Derby levels that they are now, or the Portsmouth levels, where they'd only just come out of the top division not that long before and stuff. So, you know, we do have that vast difference now, I think. But, yeah, I mean, you know, you're there to support your team. They're going to pack it out. It's not like we're, you know, selling 30,000 tickets for them at that price. We're only selling like 1,200. So we've got to make as much as we can. And as I say, geographically, unfortunately, we do need to charge a bit more. But yeah, I'm not a huge fan of the tiered thing anyway. But I don't think it really makes that much difference to people. A few quid, really. I could be wrong.
Well, yeah. Anyway, get over it, you lot. Right, okay. So we've got no game on Saturday. So we've got nothing else left to talk about, have we? Nothing else has happened in January?
Oh, yeah, other than the window.
Oh, the transfer window, of course. How could I forget?
I wondered where you were going with that for a second, well, yeah. I'll be honest.
Right, what do we need then? Richie said we need a striker. Are we going to get one, is the question. My initial thought is no, because you don't get strikers in the transfer window. Gareth's looking at me like he might have scouted a few players. No. Gareth, no.
No, not at all. I mean, you see it all across football, don't you? Everybody wants somebody who's going to bang in the goals. And then the second line is always, well, where are we going to get them from? And that's the big conundrum, isn't it? Because anybody who makes an impact thus far, just take, I'm picking names and we're not starting rumours, but pick Alfie May. Yeah, he's done really, really well. If somebody wanted to come in and get him, what would Charlton say?
At least £1 million. Isn't
exactly, isn't it? Yeah, imagine, so it's not going to happen. So the only option you can get in terms of a striker is to find somebody from a higher level who's a bit more developed than, say, a Ford, a bit more experienced, a bit more established, who's going to hit the ground running and make an impact. But I think what we need to think about is playing better as ourselves there, you know, and doing what we're doing. We talked about Adjei. Now, the big worry for me is I think Adjei will come good, and I think he will come good as a striker. But I'm also worried about him breaking down because, you know, you've had half a season miss. You've been building up fitness. It quite often happens, doesn't it, that, you know, they perhaps play too much, tribe a little bit too hard, and all of a sudden there's another problem, isn't it?
So, I mean, the bonus is we do now have 10 days off, obviously, but we don't play again until the 13th of January. So, A, it gives us time to actually do something in the transfer window. B, it gives the players a little bit of a break. Those players like Adjei, as you say, who are coming back to fitness and things. Terry, would you be more focusing on getting wide players than trying to get a centre forward? Or do you just think that, you know, we got to take a gamble and try and get a youngster in on loan?
Yeah, centre forward looks our main area where we need to improve. Because as we said earlier on, we've got three or four players that can play in wide areas now.
Yeah.
I think geographically, we're always at an advantage because we've got so many Premier London clubs on our doorstep.
And Championship, so
yeah. Yeah, and Championship. So we've always got a chance of getting a player from there. Also, what isn't doing us any harm is the fact that we're doing okay in League One.
Yeah.
You know, managers might think if we were in the bottom three, oh, I don't really want to go there. But they see us comfortably mid-table at the moment and think, right, no problem. Like, you know, it seems like they're a decent outfit. I think the breaks come at the right time for us for the reasons you just said with Dan. It gives him a time to sort of, you know, get him, because he always looks tired to me when you see him. As you say, maybe he goes to fall over because he's knackered. I don't know, but he's very ungainly when he runs. And as I say, I think it gives a chance. It might be a little blessing in disguise. Of course, I want this to be in the FA Cup. I'd rather us be in the FA Cup. But if we're going to take the silver lining, the positive light out of the situation, then it does give us time to go again in a few weeks' time, you know.
Go on, Rich.
You know, I have to be honest, it sounds silly because I know that goals are our issue, but I feel that we need the creativity a bit more than we need. Because I do think if we create those, my issue is I don't think we're creating anywhere near enough. I know we're not finishing anywhere enough, but I think that's because we're not creating. And for me, it'd be a bit more pressing, I think, to get a winger in or something like that, because I think if we can get a natural winger in, because we're playing players out there that I don't think are very natural at that position. I do feel the only natural winger we've got is Theo, other than, you know, obviously Jordan Graham's out. I do think Dan Adjei could do that job, actually, because going purely by when I saw him last season, he was on the left, I think, and I thought he was brilliant. So when we actually signed him, I did actually think he was going to. That's what he was like, the Paul Smith replacement on that left hand side. I have to be honest. But his Cambridge performance up front has made me think that I do think he could do a good job in there as well now. But the more for me, I think I would still like the winger just slightly more than I'd like the forward, the striker. I think, because I think the winger is going to be a bit easier to get as well. I think, you know, you're right, the striker. What we're probably looking at, whether we'll go for a young, so if we've got Shaq forward, I think we'll. You know, I'm not saying this play, but you know, I was reading about, is it Lee Gregory at Sheffield Wednesday? We're kind of looking at that sort of fourth choice striker maybe somewhere that's going to be on good money. That, you know, he's 35 now, but he's a good Sheffield Wednesday, did very well in League One. And, you know, someone like that I could see as, you know, I'd love to get, you know, like a Kevin Lisby, a pick, you know, is there a mid 30s somewhere that we can pick up for free that isn't doing anything? But
just looking slightly differently, is maybe if we could get a fullback in. Because then we haven't got to play Galbraith or Brown at the fullback, filling and talk what we're talking about, developing partnerships, developing little areas of the field. If you can, as I say, play Idris and Jordan and Galbraith as a three, I think, as I said before, I think they're good enough to be the creative force that we want them to be. And you just, as we said earlier, you're just starting to see it happen for them now. It's far more encouraging because I think, you know, and if we've got a fullback in, we ain't got to play them boys there.
Yeah,
then,
we've got,
you know,
Sweden, but it's obviously, I just don't think he fancies him this
season.
Yeah,
it's interesting because he was on the bench the other night.
His confidence looked very low. You know, he looks, I think Richie, he sort of caught the sharp side of Richie's tongue a few times, didn't he, when he came in the side, and I think it's affected his confidence a little bit.
And that's an interesting one there. You know, do you bring another fullback in on loan and send him out on loan, Sweeney, to League Two?
I don't think we're
going to
get fullbacks until the summer. I mean, I had a very drunken chat with Ken Teague a few games ago, and he did mention, you know, fullback.
He was drunk, or you were drunk?
Well, I don't know if he
both.
I tried to offer it, but yeah, I mean, I think he mentioned something about we'd probably target fullbacks in the summer when I was throwing all these questions at him about our main areas. It was seemed to be the forward positions, but yeah, I do agree that I think our fullbacks are a weaker position for us. But yeah, I just think we probably won't do much in January because, you know, defensively we haven't looked anywhere near as bad as we have up front, I think. So that's the more priority for things.
You know, it's interesting, and I don't know whether it's just the last three games that have sort of coloured my thinking, but I was very much in the camp of send Cooper back because his disciplinary record isn't good enough, and bring in a centre-half. It frees up another loan spot, but B, bringing in a centre-half. But, you know, Happy and Beckles seem to have improved, and again, admittedly, we said they weren't necessarily up against the most prolific attacks in the division. However, do we now just focus on the four line? What would you do, Terry? Would you keep Cooper? Would you extend his loan because his loan is up in it's up now.
It's a tough one, isn't it? You say the form of Beckles and Happy's. He's not as crucial to us now.
Yeah.
So, and so if it frees up another spot, then maybe that is the way to go.
It's the way it turns as well.
Yeah. And yeah, of course. So, you know, it's a tough one to call. But, yeah, I mean, if we can get someone, you know, decent in, it might be worth sacrificing Cooper.
We've also got three players. We've only got about 30 seconds left. But we've also got three players, to my mind, who are taking up spots and taking a wage who... Again, I would imagine they'll be on decent money, which is Tom O'Drien and Moncur, who I would think will be gone in the summer. But do we try and offload them now? Do we think that anyone will take them?
I think we might try and get something for in January, yeah.
Yeah. Gareth, coming over to you, what would you... I mean, I know, again, Drinan's not fit, so it's hard because I mean,
the question is who's going to take them, isn't it?
True.
It's the flip side of what we were talking about before, is that we want them, will they let us have them? Who wants our players? Because they've hardly impressed, have they, so.
Yeah, true. It's a really difficult one, isn't it?
Last year, so I can imagine people. You know, we need someone stupidly rich like Wrexham to come in and do something. Well,
that's
what it is.
Yeah, and I think, you know, and again, those players, you know, I don't think they've done anything wrong, but I just don't think at the moment they're playing enough games for us to get the value for money that we need. So, well, ladies and gentlemen, we've come to the end of the show. Thank you ever so much, Gareth.
Not a problem.
Thank you, Terry.
Good night.
And thank you, Rich.
Thanks, mate.
Thank you for listening, everybody. And we shall see you all next week. Take care. Bye-bye.
When I sit, when I sit, we're the only one of us around. And you know where we can be found. When sadly comes again. We'll be trying to do our best. To cheer all those on who wear the vest. Whatever challenge, whatever test. We're laying on you from 10.
our club, we are proud. So sing it up and sing aloud. We were formed in 1881, the Claps and Orient had so begun. The old story on it runs, we're late and Orient from E10. Whatever challenges come our way, the Orient faithful are here to stay. We can live to fight another day. We're late and Orient from E10. Late and Orient from E10. Yeah. We can live to fight another day. We're late and Orient from E10. Late and Orient from E10. This is our club. We are proud. So sing it up and sing it loud. We're not a city, we're not a town, we're the only one of us around. Yeah, you know where we can be found. When Saturday comes again, we'll be trying to do our best to cheer all those on who wear the vest. Whatever challenge, whatever test, we're late and Orient from E10. Late and Orient from E10. Late and Orient.
On the hour, across Brentwood and Billericay, this is Phoenix FM News.